Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, The Sunday Afternoon Murder Club, a chance to look at cases old and new. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program.
And from Southern California, we have well-known attorney Manny Barling. Manny, welcome.
Well, welcome. Hello, everyone.
How is California? Is it as hot and humid there as it is in Mississippi?
We've actually been in the mid-90s and dry. It's a fairly normal weather for August, and we're quite happy. Every time I complain, I turn on the news, and I feel better. It's terrible out there.
Perfect. From Fort Lauderdale, Florida, we have bail bondsman and general roustabout, William Cobra Storbs. Cobra, welcome.
Hey, Simon, good to be here. Good to hear Manny out there. And Jan, a short host set up here today, do we?
And
a little.
And apparently you have survived the attack of the killer bees.
Yes, 4 million of them have met their maker, and hopefully they don't let them come back.
There's a story all to itself.
I just wondering, is there a reincarnation for bees, Cobra?
I hope not, brother, because if it is, I'm in a world of hurt.
You might just come back as a worker bee.
Let me tell you what, if I reincarnate and come back, I will be the topic of the next murder show. Trust me on this one.
I agree.
We do have a couple of people missing. Due to illness, the crime doctor, Denny Griffin, will not be with us. It was his 21st birthday yesterday, and we all hope that he makes a quick recovery from his hangover. He will, however, be back next week, and we're going to be discussing the Patrick Rust case. So, Denny, you know, here's an aspirin for you. I'm also somewhat sad to... Well, I'm very sad to tell you that Dave Neckel is going to try and join us. However, his 80-year-old father is in hospital. Dave's going to try and carve out a few minutes to call in. Dave, best wishes to your father. As always, our chat room is open, and we do welcome your questions, but please be nice to each other. Let's get on with the program. The Casey Anthony story is just a subject that will not go away. I mean, almost everyone that has been reporting on it is fed up with it. It needs to go away. Everyone needs to get on with their lives. The overwhelming majority of regular people think that justice has been cheated. Daughter Kaylee is dead. That's a fact that cannot be changed. Yet, no one faces any consequences. Casey Anthony was found not guilty and is a free woman. However, there is a little irksome issue with her probation for the check fraud problem. A clerical error, which I think in legalese is called a Scrivener error, has made this into a huge and very serious legal issue. Was the 1 year probation served while she was in jail awaiting trial on murder charges or not? I mean, if she is now asked to do a second round of probation, does she face double jeopardy? Manny, you're the only person with any legal experience, because we certainly don't. You've been following this. What's your thoughts?
Well, first of all, let's understand what probation is. One of the things I noticed with all the articles and conversation about Casey Anthony is that one of the things that the people are trying to define probation as a way to control the criminal, in this case, the prisoner, and they want to force them to find jobs, avoid alcohol, stay away from the victim. Well, in this case, it's pretty easy to do. Getting her probation officer's approval for changing a residence, submitting to drug tests and alcohol. And they say, well, this is to help her return to a life, in normal life. That's not true. Probation is a period of time in which you allow someone out from prison, but you don't trust them, so you put restrictions on them and you watch them like a hawk to see whether or not they commit another crime. In California, one of my longtime friends and clients runs an investigative service who contracts with the state, particularly on pedophiles. So when they put them out on probation, they actually assign a private detective to follow them and communicate with them, one to keep them from committing another crime, and the other one, of course, is to keeping someone in the general public from killing them. So this would be a similar situation that if someone like Casey Anthony were required to be on probation, be within the Orlando area, find a job, good luck there, and do all the drug testing and all the rest, it would expose her to the kind of general public scrutiny where they would have to pay the money to assign a detective to follow her to keep her from being hurt or murdered. So I don't know what benefit it would do to anyone. So first of all, dealing with whether or not she should be on probation, it's a waste of taxpayer money. As the point is she going to run out and commit a crime right now? I don't see her robbing a bank. And if she did, most people would be happy because then she'd go to federal prison for a long time. So one side wishes she would commit a crime and go back to jail, and the other side will view it as a colossal waste of money. And so before we jump into the specifics of the case, Simon, do you have any thoughts about assuming that the prosecution, or in this case it's a judge, which we'll get to in a moment, won the argument she was put on probation? Do you think it really benefits anybody? And can you imagine what it would cost?
No, to be honest with you, it doesn't benefit anyone. And literally, there is no organization, government organization that really wants to pursue this. However, there is a point of law. And, someone screwed up the Scrivener error, translated into her performing probation while in jail, everyone wants to walk away from it, but it will not go away.
But the thing, y'all are forgetting something, though. Whether it's good or not, it's still the law. She should have served probation. You don't serve probation behind bars, and Baez knew that whenever they started it out to begin with. He should have went to the DA or somebody and said, hey, look, she can't be on probation right now. She's behind bars. But he didn't, and he knew.
Well, why should he?
One that was with Strickland when Strickland gave the order to begin with, and he knew it was supposed to be after.
Well,
so why should she be any special?
It isn't a question of being special. The real issue here is a little bit different. You know, I've raised issues from time to time about prosecutorial malpractice as well as judicial malpractice. Well, this is what happens. So when you talk about this case, why is it here? It's here because a judge basically raised hell about the fact that she wasn't on probation, and yet he did the initial order. He never followed up on it. He never reviewed the transcript. He never reviewed the court order, which, incidentally, he signed. So this court order you're complaining about, Jan, was signed by the judge. He's now going, yeah. Oops, it's wrong. Now, let me finish explaining something to you. When a judge does that, he's got 60 days to correct it. So usually what happens is a judge once a week reviews all his orders to make sure of no typos or some mistake. Well, apparently this lazy old judge got taken off the case, and he never did anything. So now, 3 years later, he should be mad at himself. And I can tell you other lawyers are laughing at him because all he's done is embarrassing himself for not doing the job he should have done in the first place. In the case of Baez, he's paid by the defendant. Anthony, if he sat and said, "You're wrong, Your Honor, this should run afterwards," he'd be committing a malpractice. He's being paid by his client to shorten her sentence and to protect her and make sure she isn't subject to this. So he not only not has a legal obligation to do that with a judge, he'd be committing malpractice. But there's no malpractice for judges and prosecutors. And why are the prosecutors in this case staying way away from him? Because they've already made big enough fools of themselves as it is, and they don't want to jump on this bandwagon and get roasted again because Judge Strickland decided to express his intentions about trying to have her held for probation now because he's the one who screwed up. So the focus of this conversation ought to be on the poor judicial system in Orlando, Strickland, who should be removed from the bench for malpractice, and the prosecution, who too lazy to read orders. They're so busy going for the home run that they didn't notice anything going on in this case. Whose fault is that?
Yeah, but I still say, if anybody else, this would happen to anybody else, they would be put on probation again, and it would be like nobody, I mean, like everybody else, they would have been treated like. But no, this little princess thinks that she's high and above and beyond the law, and her attorneys feel the same way. And she's and she should be treated like every other person that breaks the law.
You know, Chan, if that were true, then she would not have been charged, and this whole issue would have been not come out for anybody
but
other
the
than
thing is, she still did. She admitted to the crime. I'm not talking about the murder charges. I'm talking about the check fraud. Why shouldn't she serve what she was sentenced?
Well,
regardless of the technicality, I don't really care about technicalities. Should be that they should. He was heard on video. It should be that she should have to serve it.
Well, it's not
okay.
Her responsibility. Wait a minute, Simon. It's not her responsibility to do it right. It's the prosecution's responsibility and the judge's one. And the bottom line to it all. By the way, I don't like it either. I'm not championing her position. I'm championing the position that this is gross misconduct on their part. You cannot go back on any citizen a year and a half, 2 years later, and try and change any court decision.
But they say in the state of Florida, he can change it any time.
It's not that
60 days is not the loss. I mean, the whatever it is, that professor. They said they already said, and even Baez admitted it, that they are allowed to change it at any time, those orders, at any time.
Wait a minute. Jan, first of all, that's wrong because that's not what the law says. Number two, are you aware that four of the five major districts in the Court of Appeals agree with that position, only one doesn't, and that all the cases are before the Florida Supreme Court right now? In all likelihood, the judge is just going to do what he's going to do and say, hey, we're going to have to wait till the Supreme Court rules. You know, you have a double jeopardy issue in a criminal case. You also have a time expiration, which is called laches, L-A-C-H-E-S. And what you have, it's almost like a statute of limitations. When you don't act to correct something and you don't do what's required of you, the time runs, just like in any other issue. So what's happened here is the time is run, and if they really think that any court, appellate court, is going to uphold this simply because the judge doesn't like the decision in the trial, that gives the judge far more power than he wants. Plus, this judge has been removed from the case. So there's a question of whether he even has jurisdiction to make such an order because he's not the judge on the case. So they can all say what they want. Down deep, they all know what the law is. And the fact is, that's the law.
Was he actually recused from the murder case or the check fraud case?
I don't know exactly which one, but once you refuse them, but wait a minute, the jurisdiction ends when the case ends. So what he's trying to do is go back after everything has happened and done. You see, there's two sides of this. If nothing had occurred, she'd not done anything. She was just getting out of jail. The time hadn't run. There were no active other things. Then he might get away with this. But there's too much water under the bridge. How do you change this when so much time has passed because you happen to get up one day and be unhappy with a judge with another judge's case?
All right. But I like to deal with things in really simple terms. There are two very different cases here. There's the check fraud case and the murder case. Now, check fraud, she pleaded guilty, and Judge Strickland said, okay, you've been a very bad girl. I'm going to sentence you to time served and 1 year's probation.
Upon release.
No.
He said that.
He said it, but it wasn't in the written order. Okay? Now, she happened to be in jail, but she was not under any kind of sentence at that time. She was awaiting trial. So along comes the probation people. They read the order. And they go, oh, well, okay, he clearly means that probation should start now. So question for you, Manny. How often have, in your many years of lawyering, have you seen periods of probation done while someone is behind bars?
It's quite common. It's quite common for these kind of mistakes to happen. And usually what happens is they're caught within the period of time and fixed. So, no, I haven't seen it happen. I have seen the mistake. These mistakes happen so often in the practice of law. That's why you have to check them constantly. As I said on the previous show, no order has ever gone out of my office without being closely checked by somebody, nor would I allow one to, because guess what? You're inviting malpractice. It's stupid. So here we are with prosecutors who have unlimited amount of employees in the office, clerks, law clerks, you name it. And guess what? Nobody bothered to do this. Now, whose fault is that? So now you want to fix an error by the court by sentencing Casey Anthony on a, oops, the court screwed up, didn't notice it for 3 years, and gee whiz, it's your fault. And unfortunately, in our judicial system, those are called malpractice. And if they're going to allow those kinds of do-overs for mistakes on behalf of the civil bar, I demand that we get the same kind of do-overs. Because guess what? If you did that in civil practice, judge would say, sorry, you got to deal with your client, because you just committed malpractice. Someone should just get up and say, Judge Strickland, this is your fault. You didn't read the order. You didn't do what you're paid to do. And guess what? You committed malpractice, and this whole thing is caused by your failure to perform your job as a judge. And all too often, these judges get by with this crap because no one wants to stand up and go, you committed malpractice. but this is clear malpractice. So why should Casey Anthony or any other American pay for malpractice committed by a judge? Can you anyone have a feeling about that? Whose responsibility is it?
Okay, let's bring Cobra in. Cobra, do you have any thoughts?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been waiting for you to call my name. Pick me. Little Johnny said, pick me. Listen, I have mixed emotions about it, and I would say fact and emotion. And if we take, like I said before, take the emotion out of it and get down to the basic nuts and bolts. Now, my probation, I served probation for my little episode up in Putnam County. Now, most folks, and Manny, you probably have never heard of a judge issuing this type of order. Number one, stay away from the other guy. And, you know, that's usually what probation is about anyway. Stay away from the victim or victims or whatever the hell you call them. Secondly, stay the hell out of our county. We don't want you up here investigating nothing. You do have a right to be around drug dealers, and you can go and get drunk as long as you don't get drunker than Manny would get, you know, something like that. I mean, most probations are no drugs, no alcohol, no hanging around known felons, no carrying a firearm, none of this business. Mine was written right in, you may carry a firearm, own, possess, and carry. You may drink. You may hang out with known drug offenders and drug dealers and everything else. But you do have to get drug tested, and you do have to stay out of our county for a period of 1 year, and I did all that. Now, I found a glitch in that and went back, and the judge who had wrote this order since retired from the bench, and I called him at home, and I said, you know, I didn't know that was a bad thing to do, but I figured, you know, I'm an honest feller. I just called the judge. So I called the judge at home, and the judge said, well, you know, I'm no longer a judge anymore. I said, well, Judge, they ain't doing exactly what you said do. And he goes, I'm appalled at it. And I said, well, you know, you think your chance to have a cup of coffee with somebody and, you know, talk this thing over and work this thing out? He goes, no, that wouldn't be right. I said, well, Judge, I wouldn't want you to do anything that wasn't right. But, you know, they ain't following, you know, we'll get another attorney and you sue the crap out of them is what you do. And I said, you know what, that's exactly what we're going to do. So the judge was real cool. Now, in this Judge Strickland's case, I found my judge to be way above board, a guy who very honorable, even to have a cup of coffee with someone to say, hey, Cobra didn't get the right spin on this. This is not what my order stated. In fact, I did find it early on with probation, and probation tried to have my guns taken and everything else. And I said, hold on a minute now. I've got the strangest probation. He goes, no, you're under standard Florida probation. I said, no, I'm not. I'm under a specialized probation. So they came with their own order, probation did. And then the judge had to disqualify or knock down their order and send his written order out. Now, here's where Judge Strickland has an issue. He said in open court, you know, I don't know if she's going to be convicted. I don't know this. I don't know that. It's all a bunch of bullshit, whatever the judge says. It's whatever the judge signs his name on called the order, and that order then is passed on for somebody to carry it out. Now, whatever that order, that particular order says, and if it didn't say specifically that this probationary period would commence at such a time when she was released from incarceration, then it commences immediately. So the reason this has got all screwed around and is Judge Strickland. Now, I don't know what it's called. Years ago, you would never hear of this. I know judge in my case never went publicly. He's also the judge for the Snodgrass fella that was charged with two counts of capital sexual battery on two minors. And he never went publicly and said, you know, all the problems that he was having trying to get the guy into the court. But what Judge Strickland did is he gets to blogging on there with Dave. And then in the check cashing part, he did that case real good. It was closed, dunk, everything. And then his order got screwed up. He didn't sign to what he said in court. Then during the murder trial thing, he had to recuse himself because he gets on and starts yagging with a blogger. Now, what's made this really, really bad is he goes on a Nancy Grace show and says, oh, she should have been convicted. A judge is to take and weigh of the facts and voice an opinion in that courtroom and not on a TV program. And then what he tried to do at that point, say, well, she's not even doing probation. I ordered that she would do probation. that was very wrong. If there's any malice or whatever legal term that is for malpractice or whatever, that's where he committed it, trying to be famous Jacobs, you know, get a TV show or whatever he's trying to do out here in front of the Nancy Grace folks. And it showed that he has a lot of malice. Now, Judge Perry, all he has to do is sit down and say, let me see the order that was signed. And whatever that order says is the rule of the law that has to be followed. Now, if probation got it wrong, oh, well, sorry, we got to start over again. But if probation got it right, she's done. She has served her time inside the court, inside the incarceration period, and she's done. And we can't get a second bite. Now, the state of Florida doesn't want to be jumping up and down saying, hey, they want to kind of see what Judge Perry's got to say, because it would seem like they were the sore loser type of thing, to where, you know, I'd like to see her on probation for a year, because I think, quite frankly, she'd screw up. At the best, she'd probably only get a year behind bars again. But then again, it's kind of like you said, Simon, it's time to move on from the damn girl and, you know, get on with it, go somewhere else. But unfortunately, it's not. Not until, Baez gets his deal cut with Geraldo and, you know, and the strippers and everybody else and yada, yada, and all the bullshit. But the bottom line this week, coming down Wednesday, is going to come down to a very important four corners of this letter, the order. And if it says in that order, this probation is to be contingent upon her release from whatever or her incarceration, as to what he said in open court, if it's written that way, that's the direction it's going to go. Because judges say a lot of things behind the thing. They say this and say that. It's not until they put paper to pencil and say, boom, this is the order, clerk, send it on over, and this is what's going to happen. Now, if that order, that, like I said, went over there, and it's confusing, and probation did their thing and stepped in there, oh, well, and it's not Baez's part. If Baez was my attorney, and he's, wait a minute, he can't be on probation, but this man, I'd sue the living shit out of him. So he couldn't do anything.
Manny, I have to ask you two questions. I see there are two very separate issues here. Number one, should they determine that she needs to perform a year of probation, it sure sounds like double jeopardy.
No.
You know, everyone from officialdom is saying, oh, she did it. Yeah, so
if it's on the order, Simon, if it's on that order and signed by that judge, she did it. And if the judge wrote in that order what he said and probation put her on order, it's like locking yourself up. It's like you running from the law right now. They can't find you, and you go and lock your damn self up for a period of a year and go, hey, you can't touch me. It's double jeopardy. I've never been locked up for a year. But who locked you up, son? Sorry. She was already in jail waiting trial on a no-bond situation. Now, she can receive the benefit of a screw-up here. But as far as any double jeopardy, anything done to her, if it's written in that order from the judge the way that he said it in open court, well, that's a whole new ball game. She has not done probation. She's fixing to start doing it, and there is no double jeopardy. She was in there held on a no-bond situation. It's not like they put her in jail for the crime and then turned around and that's why I don't understand these people screaming double jeopardy. It's going to come down to what that order said. And if somebody at probation, it didn't cost her anything. And Manny would have to agree. It didn't cost her. She wasn't getting out of jail because of it, and she wasn't staying in jail because of it. It didn't cost her anything. It would have been to her benefit if the judge screwed up and didn't write this order properly. It's to her benefit. But if he did write it as he said it, oh, well, sorry that probation came down there and visited you. But on the argument side that Jan has, Jan's right as well. You know, justice was not served. Probation is to see how well, if a person is going to fit back in society, they're not so criminal enough to lock them away, but they're also not good enough just to trust them to run on out there. I mean, had they not put me on probation, I'd have been right back up in Putnam County the very next day, raising all kind of hell, where is this child? But the minute they put a roadblock on me, I had to stop and stand down. So that's there is a check and balance.
Okay. I still want to ask Manny. I've got two questions.
Well, let me respond.
Does she face double jeopardy? And let's just deal with that one first.
Well, there's not much more to say after Cobra, who I happen to agree with completely. I don't know that I agree with him on the double jeopardy issue, only because there's a lot of issues with double jeopardy and how it's applied, and this is a separate case, so it may get a slightly different application, but it's also what we call a case of first impression. You're not going to open a law book and find a case quite like Casey Anthony's anywhere, and one of the one of the reasons is because most prosecutors don't screw up like this. So they created a hybrid situation by the stupid things are done. And, yeah, they're embarrassed, and yes, the local prosecutors or the team that worked on it don't want to jump into this case because guess what? That's going to come up somewhere in here that they have basically screwed this case up. So they want to get their name as far away from this case, forget it as quick as they can, and move on. So as far as the double jeopardy, it's a very complex issue, Simon, that cannot be answered by anyone else except for the Supreme Court, and anyone us who try differently are basically just entering a wild guess. But Cobra's right. You know, she has no duty to do anything. The state has the duty to do all of the work. And no matter how Jan feels, and Jan is exactly right about every bit of this, is that you cannot change the directions of a case after the case is over because the prosecutor screwed up. That alone raises the issue of double jeopardy.
But it wasn't really the prosecutors. It was the Department of Corrections that screwed up.
The prosecution claims
that they didn't even get a notice that she was being considered on probation in jail.
Well, it's not their obligation to send them a notice. It's the prosecutor's obligation to read and enforce the rule.
No, because they weren't expecting her to be on probation while she was in jail, so they didn't check into it. They were waiting for her to be released.
But no, actually, when you have this situation, you expect everything. You read everything. You watch everything.
All right, there is one other thing. That if like everybody wants to say, well, the girl served probation, then she was in violation of that probation in jail. She didn't go out and look for a job because she was behind bars. How can you go out and look for a job? That was one of the requirements of the probation. So
well,
she's in violation of that.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. But let me finish this. There's something called voluntary disablement. And basically, their actions voluntarily disable the application of the law. That's not her fault. The problem is everybody's trying to make her responsible for what was done by the prosecution and the judge. You know, stop finger-pointing. Take some responsibility. And I agree with also about the issues involving Nancy Grace. This guy has been so wrapped up in promoting himself, this judge, that to me there's a self-interest in here that really obviates his responsibilities. In other words, you can't, as a judge, go out, start promoting your distaste for a case, demand all these various changes, and go, wait a minute, someone didn't force my order. Well, they should have thought of that a couple years ago. Knowing the importance of this case, he shouldn't have been blogging with somebody else. He shouldn't also have been doing some of the other things doing. If he'd paid more attention to the damn case, this wouldn't be going on. So every second you waste blaming, you know, Casey Anthony and Baez means that this incompetent Judge Strickland gets away with malpractice, and that bothers me. So
I don't know that he's incompetent. I think what he did is he had a cup of coffee one morning with that other judge from the Nicole case, and them two got to shedding tears and went buck-ass bananas.
I don't care what they did. He had a duty and obligation
Absolutely.
To perform his oath of office while he was on the bench, not at a coffee shop, not on Nancy Grace, and not grandstanding for everybody because the case
Correct.
Was lost. And he was a contributor to it being lost because he may have been a better trial judge than Perry, and they may have
Correct.
Preferred to have him on the case instead of Perry. So anyway you cut it, this guy's actions are an integral part of why this case went wrong. And for him to now try to cover his butt by doing this is repugnant. And I guarantee you, if I did that to a client, I'd be sued for malpractice. So I don't want to hear some judge blaming somebody else when he's not even subject to the rules of malpractice. He gets a free ride.
And he shouldn't have,
okay.
He shouldn't have voiced
okay.
it on the anti-grade.
I need to break in. I have to live with Jen, and she is sat ready to explode.
Well, jump in, Jen.
It just bothers me. I'm sorry. It just bothers me. I mean, they go through the trouble. They write out all of these requirements that she has to do to serve probation. Okay,
right.
Another one is, for instance, she's not supposed to be involved with any other criminal or whatever.
And she's hanging out with my ass, right?
She wrote letters to prisoners while she was in jail.
I love you like a mama, Jan, but the thing of it is you're grabbing at straws and you know what the
bottom line is.
You're emotional. You're emotional.
Look, it's a technical thing, yes. I agree with that. But if she can get off of technical things, how come
this
she can't
technical.
Be put on probation because of technical things?
This ain't technical at all, Jan. The thing of it is, and I understand, I say we should juice her ass up any damn way, but the fact of the matter is from an emotional standpoint, you're 100% right, but from a factual side, it doesn't ride that way. The only thing that's going to come down is the four corners of that judge's order, and if that order says this probation is to begin, it's your release or your disposition on this other case, then she starts probation. If it doesn't say it that way, she's done. She's done, and we just got to kind of say, damn, she escaped the bullet twice. Shit, how many lives does this bitch have?
And Jen, don't misunderstand me. I'm not pulling for Casey Anthony.
I know.
Not on probation. I'm sad she's not in jail, but I'm not going to railroad her in jail because to satisfy some judge who can't do his job right.
Okay, well, you don't need to, but I can.
You can.
You're welcome.
And I know you're
doing a good job of it.
I know you're still mad at me.
I
want to
see her behind bars so bad.
I know, and I know you're still upset with me when I took the stance that I did and said, listen, they're not going to convict her. There's absolutely no way. Everybody's got their finger on the scale, and I was only wrong one time. I said the prosecution had the finger on the scale, but it appears Judge Strickland has been standing on the damn scale, and we can't get a fair weight in on any of this shit. That's the problem, and it all starts, like Manny says, with Judge Strickland. Nice, likable guy, but his modus operandi need to be checked somewhere along the lines because apparently he's not acting like the man up there in the black robe supposed to be like God. You know what I mean? He's not doing that. He didn't do that. So if we're upset with anyone,
right?
We need to be upset with him.
He needs to be thoughtful, efficient, do his job the way he's supposed to do his job and not basically get hung up on this kind of stuff. And why? I mean, he's got a busy caseload. He shouldn't be fixating on this case. He's got enough stuff to do. So why is he fixating on it? I don't know.
And the way I read it, he should be also handling the case with fear and trembling. He should be, you know, for sure that he's making the right decision and not dealing like, to me, Jan, no offense to you, but to me, Jan, he's dealing from the same side you are, emotional. Judges ain't supposed to be emotional. They're supposed to be, as a matter of fact, in law, I've cut every benefit to you that I possibly can, Mr. Miss Defendant. And unfortunately, this is the way the cookie crumbles. May God have mercy on your soul. See you later. And it's over. No more discussion.
The only thing I see that he did wrong was not proofread those papers, which he should have done.
That's it.
But,
well, let me tell you a story.
That doesn't make him a bad man.
Well, it depends on. So if your lawyer commits malpractice and costs you everything you have and. But that means he's not a bad man. He's just a real sweetheart of a guy. He just basically screwed you. Is that what that means?
He had a good reputation before this. This little witch has done ruined so many reputations.
No, Judge Strickland's ruined his own reputation.
He did his own
handling of the case. Casey Anthony didn't do anything. She was in jail being kicked around like all good defendants should be in a case like this. And everything after that, serendipity, and the serendipity in this case actually turned in her favor. But how much did it turn in her favor? And let me tell you something that you should think about. And this is something every lawyer sees. one of my old mentors used to do all these Indiana homilies, you know, the old farm homilies, although he wasn't anything but a farmer. He was a billionaire shopping center distributor, and he used to say to me, Manny, lepers don't change their spots. If they're doing it to you, they're doing it to someone else, and if they've done it before, don't worry, they'll do it again. And that's where Casey Anthony is. You really think that Casey Anthony is going to be able to go the rest of her life without going back to jail? I don't believe it. This is basically what you saw with O.J. Simpson, who I felt, you know, I wasn't sure he was guilty after the trial because, again, they did such a terrible job of trying him here in Los Angeles. We were all embarrassed about it. But at the end of the day, I said, you know, if O.J. is guilty, then O.J. can't live with this. And he will put himself back in jail out of some form of guilt because he can't live like this. And guess what? He did. And if she's truly guilty, she will put herself back in jail through some self-destructive act because she can't live with it. And it happens all the time.
In the streets, we call it karma. And that bitch is wicked, boy. She will come and get you.
Yeah.
We call it revenge.
Okay. That tone of voice worries me, Simon.
That's karma's helping.
I keep Jen on a fairly short leash.
You better make it a fucking chain.
I don't think it should be so short anymore, huh, Jen?
Well, no. You better make it a tungsten chain, boy.
And Jan, this is not a Brit thing here, okay?
No. She's a Mississippian.
No,
I know.
This is bothering her.
She's responding to a long-running show for you.
Yeah, you're right.
There's another aspect of the Casey Anthony case that I think is worth talking about. Jen noticed it. Suddenly, there's a huge amount of press about Casey lookalikes. TMZ seems to have a lock on this one. Are they real or are they Memorex? Is this just part of the defense team's efforts to explain the reason why she should not go back to Orlando?
It smells to me like Anthony cover-up.
To me like Hollywood. You know, you ever watch these shows like Entertainment Tonight and The Insider or any of those things they put up with this gossipy movie type stuff? Well, Harvey Levin, when he found the TMZ, and I don't know if you know who he is, but he was the lawyer on the streets during People's Court for years and might still be doing the show. And he's just following the gossip profile. He can't follow, Jerry Springer, so instead he's following this.
I'd take a different approach to it. I think what they've done is there was a lot of hoopla when she was let out and let off or, you know, vindicated and all this happy shit went into hiding. And it's kind of like fishing. If you're going out there after a big old fish, especially like a shark, you just don't go out there and bait a hook and chuck it in the water. You got to chum up a little bit, throw out some blood, throw out some chum out there. So this is kind of like chum. And you see how all of them are coming around. Is that her? You know, that picture is worth money if it's her. So they chum in the waters, and part of it kind of works. It's kind of like, I don't think the judge in his infinite wisdom thought that this would cause a problem later on. It's just somehow or another, Casey seems to have a damn horseshoe stuck up her ass to where I think if I had a piece of coal, I could get a diamond out of it. But somehow or another, it seems that these things kind of work in her favor. And somehow, whether this is her in Ohio, which I have a good investigator at TMZ that believes and swears to God it is her. So, you know, I've told you this before. When Conduit was coming out of the hotel and my buddy that's an investigator snapped a few photos and said, you're never going to believe this shit. I got Conduit on film. I says, Conduit? What the hell is he talking about? Whatever that guy's name is, that famous senator. And I called
Condon, you're talking about.
Yeah, I call him Conduit. You know, Conduit, the one who said he didn't, and he ended up fathering a child with this woman and everything else. Well, my buddy snapped some photographs and caught him coming into that elevator and tried to ask him questions, and he blew him off, told him the F you and all this happy horse shit. Well, when I called a couple of my friends in the press, said, hey, my buddy over at DMZ happened to get some of this information, and it's coming, and I think the guy is dirty. Oh, that's bullshit, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden it turns into a national freaking story, and it's true. So I do believe that that was her. I think that it was done on a Saturday or Sunday, and it wasn't released until midweek, probably about Wednesday. And if it's the same as the Conduit case, they always give them time to relocate, you know, get up out of there and go and get poised at the next drop zone. And I think the next drop zone is going to be L.A., and it's going to be right out there in your area, Manny. If you don't get pictures, I'm going to be pissed at you. And then they're just chumming. They're going to chum around for a little bit, and I do believe that the guy who's going to step up with the money, I don't know that it's going to be a million, but it's probably a half a million, and that's going to be Geraldo, because Geraldo is so tied right now, in just in the circle of friends that I have, he's so tied in right now with Baez, it's not even freaking funny. So I believe that Geraldo is going to be the guy who gets the lion's share of the story, and then if they still want to make a little extra money, they're going to find out what Hustler's got to say and how in-depth Hustler's going to go. And I think the most we're going to see her in is a bathing suit, as far as Hustler goes, and he don't really care. Flynn doesn't care whether she's standing there with her jersey on or whatever. He wants some of the show because it will sell, you know, a bunch of stuff. So those are the only two outlets that I know that she has, and then she's going to have to do something kind of quick because some of these other folks are really closing new noose in on her as far as suing her for breach of contract and, you know, and all the other hoopla stuff that's going on. So somehow or another, she's going to have to score a couple dollars somewhere. And then again, you've got ABC News sitting over there that's still poised. And, of course, those are the ones that paid, as I understand, big money going into this thing. So they're not out of the race. But I think that the head henchkin right now is going to be Geraldo. That's who I believe is going to take it all beans.
Manny, I have to give the microphone to you.
That's hard, you know, that's hard to follow when Cobra gets going like that. He's covered half the country, two continents. I mean, Cobra can hardly keep up with you, guy. Only place I disagree with Cobra is that, you know, basically speaking, she's still got to pass on lie detector tests, and I don't think that she can get past what she needs to do. Yes, maybe Hustler might give her some money, but Hustler will be very careful. You're right. They won't want to show her more than a bathing suit. I'm not so sure that putting her into that might turn off an audience, so I'm not sure that he wants to even do that. He's going to be very, very careful what he does.
There ain't no lie detector test, by the way.
The point with this conversation is she's in hiding. And by the way, having spent a lot of time in Ohio, that's a good place to hide because the people there are just not the swiftest pencils on the deck. She could probably run around. They wouldn't even notice her. And I mean, you can do almost anything there and nobody will notice or care. So at the end of the day, the real issue is going to be what will somebody pay her? Who cares where she is? They're just trying to sell or get an audience. And if somebody's going to watch because they think they've seen Casey Anthony, how can they turn down free ratings? Because ultimately it's about ratings, and that's what Casey Anthony is. Casey Anthony is a dying horse with its last kicks, giving off its last ratings before they have to bury this story and move on. And in a summer where there aren't a lot of great stories, you know, she's the story. When she stops being a great story, they'll just move on and leave her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, poor Casey.
I think she'll probably be happy about it. I don't think she wants to be in the public eye. I think she's torn between her need for money and a desire to just be left alone.
The only thing I regret in the whole damn case, the only thing that I regret, because I could see it coming into focus right now, I should have done a damn trash pull on Casey Anthony. God damn it. Maybe I ought to find a white glove and some pubic hairs.
Oh,
I never too late for a good pool. But, yeah, and again, you watch Jams. She's going to do something that puts herself in great risk and harm. And wherever she goes, whatever she does, she won't get any sympathy. And the next jury that sees her in front of them may find it their need to convict her just because of who she is. So she's in danger that anything she does from this point on exposes her to additional penalties that would, in other words, if she had even a small crime that was 1 to 5 years in prison that normally people just get probation for, then you can be assured that she will probably go to prison for a period of time just because she's Casey Anthony. And by the way, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because nature, as we were just discussing, nature does have a way of providing, doesn't it?
It most certainly does. OJ is the prime example.
I don't think prayers are going to go that way, Simon. Just like what he just said about nature, and you know, we speak of God, we speak of karma, we speak of all these different things. OJ's went the way OJ's went because that's what OJ was dealing with, the threats and this, that, and the other. Hers, I can foresee her being at a party, doing some drugs, and somebody giving her a hot shot, and she's going to check out of here pharmaceutically. That's how I see her demising, not getting caught and wrapped up in the system, and 13 years from now, we go, wow, she finally got caught. No, she's dead. What the hell? Well, yeah, she was taking a bad form of Xanax, I guess. Zanny the nanny's taking care of her.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't see that because in my experiences, what I see is those are the people who probably think she's cool because she beat it. And those aren't the people who will be prone to kill her. It's more the self-righteous, same kind of person.
No, she don't have to be killed. An overdose.
Yeah, overdose. Zanny just took care of her, that's all.
Yeah, but, you know, when you have those kind of overdoses, they're not generally an accident, okay? I mean, we've all been around this long enough to know that killing somebody with a drug is a very dangerous thing. Even if it's an accident, if you're a drug user and somebody dies in your presence while you're taking drugs and you've contributed to that, you're talking about murder. And I don't care whether it's Casey Anthony or what. So people are not in a big hurry to jump into that kind of potential liability.
Well, I'm glad you disagree with me. You know why?
Yeah.
Because last time you did, it went south on your ass. So guess what?
It sure did.
It confirmed it.
and it may well go again because my ass went going south.
Maybe helping Jan out over there. But I'm telling you right now, I believe pharmaceutical is going to get her.
I really do.
Especially if she did this to this child. Karma is looking at her with four eyes going, mm-hmm. Guess what?
Jan,
I got the nanny for your ass.
Jan, I have a question. Do you want to see my ass going south too?
I couldn't understand you.
That's probably better.
I didn't catch the question.
I wanted to know would you be happy if I was right and he was wrong and he.
That's not what I said. I asked her if she'd be happy if she saw my ass going south the way you predict.
I don't want to see nothing happen to you. I wanted to happen to her. That's all.
And I got to hand it to you. It's taken you a month to throw the predictions on our face. It's longer than we all predicted.
The only reason I did that because I said, you know what, I just need Manny to disagree with me so that Karma can take a second listen and a second look, and here we go. So you set the ball into motion. Now it's just a matter of time. So we turn on the TV and go,
really
oh, my God.
Yeah,
Zanny,
I really
the nanny, got her.
Okay, is the Manny and Cobra love fest over?
Oh, yeah, man, shit.
if anything goes
south, I'm going to get Manny to represent my ass when I'm going north.
Well, guess what? That's probably the end I should be representing.
That's it, brother, man.
You know, Simon, if you don't start refereeing us, this show's going to go on forever.
Okay, let's move on.
Hard as that may be.
You know, I mean, the thought of... the pair of you, no. I don't even want to consider it. There's a couple of other cases that I think deserve some mention. Manny, I know that you've been following the Lawrence King trial. I know that not too much happened this week, but would you like to give us a quick thumbnail sketch?
Well, yeah, not much happened because they're still pouring through the various witnesses that saw the event. But what is going on is what's happening behind the scenes. A number of local articles, particularly the Ventura area, have been really attacking the teachers in the school system for allowing him to be there, for allowing this to go on, putting him at risk, bringing the worst out of the teenager who shot him. And then there's been all this interesting testimony. And some of my favorite goes that one teacher saw him in the makeup and the shoes and complained to the principal that, you know, it's not good for other students to see this, that sex and kissing isn't something that you hoist on fourth, fifth, sixth graders, and, you know, and even in junior high school, but yet you want to bring someone who's cross-dressing and all those issues, and they basically told him to just mind his own business. And they had a long conversation about his lack of social skills, how he didn't fit in. And a lot of local writers have been writing articles about, well, why was he in school? Why wasn't he dealt with? Why wasn't he sent to a psychologist? Why wasn't it turned over to social services to deal with his family about abuse? Then it turned out his sister testified that the murderer, Brandon McEnany, was abused by his father. And then when they asked the aunt why she didn't turn him in, she said, well, I was abused too, and I wasn't going to do it to my brother. So what's happening now is the family's on trial and the school system's on trial for not doing anything about this child. When I say doing anything about him, I don't mean punitive, but coming to grips with a 6th, 7th, and 8th grader area where children are confused, having difficulties, determining whether or not it was appropriate for someone who was coming out of the closet, uncertain of his gay rights, and mixing him in a general crowd who weren't prepared for it, because guess what? It's incendiary, and it leads to these kind of situations. But the real basic issue is they're trying to put out what we call the gay panic defense. And every bit of evidence the defense is putting on goes to the gay panic defense. He was gay, he propositioned me, therefore it's okay for me to kill them. Well, if he killed him in a rage at the time of that he was being propositioned, I mean, he might have some ability to say, well, I went emotionally off it, I didn't intend to kill him, I lost my temper, and maybe he could get it down to second-degree murder, manslaughter, or whatever. But this planning, because the evidence looks like he planned it, of course he had to, he brought a gun to school, he deliberately sat behind him, and then he executed him with two shots. It's pretty hard to say that's an emotional reaction to someone propositioning to you. I mean, I don't know if there's an American male in the workplace who has been propositioned by a gay man at some time or another in his life. Do you know how many people would be dead if everybody at work propositioned a gay man shot a gay man who propositioned him, or in a bar? We've all had gay men approach us in bars. What are you going to do, put a bounty on their head? What are you going to do?
You
tell me you haven't had a gay man approach you in a bar.
Negative. I sure as hell have not.
Well, Cobra, I've seen your photo. I understand why. But
yeah,
and I don't mean that. You're a big, rugged type guy, and only certain type of gay guys go for you. And they're usually the cowboy gay guys in that atmosphere. But in a big city like Miami, I don't think you fit the gay appearance. Unless, of course, you have 5-inch red pumps you haven't told us about. Do you have any shoes like that, Cobra?
Only on my lady, man. Only on my chick.
Yeah. the bottom line of this case is it's raising questions to everybody. And Cobra, I think you'll agree with me because you deal with more criminals and other people than all the rest of us combined. And the whole bottom line is there any motive in this world to murder somebody other than self-defense because you had no other choice because he's about to take your life? Is there any other reason in civilized society to justify the murder of another human being? And the answer is no. It doesn't matter whether it's an abortion's rights clinic, a gay man, a gay man in the frontier in Wyoming, or some.
I disagree with you, Manny. I mean, thank God I have restraint on my life. But I disagree with that. I mean, there are times when you know, someone is in your face, and it's a matter of life or death, and you have to take his life to spare your own, or take his life to spare the life of another. And
that's what I said.
I'm agreeing with you. That's textbook on a proper way to kill somebody. But has there been times when I believe that, yes, somebody should die, and could I go ahead and kill them? And yes, if there wasn't a God watching over me, yeah, I believe I would, especially in my over 8,000 arrests that I have made. 200 of them have been sexual predators, sexual molesters. In the case of four or five of them, I recall very distinctly, one is at the top of my list. One I had to take by gunfire out of protection of 30 other people that probably were just like him, pedophiles. Riding to jail with this crazy bastard in the back seat, handcuffed, and I'm about to stop and duct tape him when he says to me, "Cobra, you got kids?" And, of course, you know, I've got five children. And at the time, they were very small children. And I said something, trying to avoid his question. And he goes, "Listen, yeah, I bet you got some girls. I would like to F and Y Z your daughter. And you know what? I'll be home before you're home today. When you finish your shift, I'll already be out. My lawyer's going to be waiting on me, getting me out." My partner begged me to stop side of the road. I mean, it went on. It was pretty intense. It's not for this radio show, but it was intense. Very, very intense. And we did end up stopping and duct taping him, bagging his head. But the thing, not bagging it, bagging it. We put a bag over so he'd stop his shit. But the thing of it is my partner begged me several times to go and stick his ass in a hole. And I want to tell you what, except for God looking out over me, I mean, nobody knew we got the guy. I wanted to stick him in a hole, because I firmly believe that this prick would be trying to do that. And guess what? Turns out he was back home before I got off my shift that particular day. And guess what? He reoffended and brutally, brutally raped two other small children. He's on death row now. But the fact of the matter is, had I stuck his ass in the hole that night, these two children, and I live with that every single day, and of the other 200, the other four that I mentioned, similar situation had happened, to where they got back out on bond. See, bondsman is only going back and doing it for the money issue, or getting them back in because they skipped or failed to appear, something like that. We're not to judge a jury. Usually I tell them, listen, ain't nothing personal. Ain't nothing personal about it, Bubba. If you'd have paid your money, I wouldn't be out here looking for you. But a lot of those guys that are in that, just like people say to me, we could probably turn them around. You can't turn them around. If a gay guy wants to be gay, he's going to be gay. If one of them, this guy that shot this kid in the back of the head, if he gets off, guess what? He'll probably shoot somebody else in the back of the head. I say,
I agree.
Man, turn him around, shoot him between the fucking eyes. But the thing of it is they're going to repeat, reoffend, and continue on. It's a sickness. It's a sickness that they cannot control. It's just like you and your woman, me and my woman. Or me and you and any woman, or me and any woman. Man, we are set here on this earth, drink a couple of beers, go chase some wild-ass women, and have, you know, a good romantic relationship. You know, like Simon and Jan over there. You know, chase around the house a few times. These people have got something fucked up in their Wheaties, and their Fruit of Loops went Fruit of Looms on them, and something went crazy, and they chasing around little kids. And when they get out, the first thing on their mind is they want a cool beer and something very young. And it's a sickness. There is no cure for that shit, Bubba Lou. And when you bring them back out, we put them right back out here to do it again. And, you know, what really pisses me off about these offenders is they generally are never caught until they have offended for about 16 years. When we first find out about an offender who has touched a little boy or touched a little girl, and, you know, it used to be little girls. Now it's little boys. I mean, the whole damn tide of them has flipped around, and it's, you know, sexual abuse on a child. I can pretty much tell you, 100% of the time, it's a little boy, not a little girl anymore. And the sickness of this sickness, I just can't understand it. But it's 16 years, Manny, before they're caught the first freaking time. That's an average. So you can imagine how many little children have fallen to this sickness. So when they start telling me, oh, it was gay craziness, or it was white, this guy, this... listen, both of them need to go straight to hell, or, you know, put them out of society, put them over here someplace. I don't know, because if you let this guy go, he'll shoot somebody else in the back of the damn head. Guaranteed.
Well, yeah, I got to tell you, I happen to agree with a lot of you saying, Mike, believe it or not, despite my oftentimes mixture of liberal viewpoints, this is not one area. I also believe these people cannot be corrected, treated otherwise, and should be executed.
Absolutely.
Once you determine someone's a pedophile like that, they should be executed. And I don't agree with you about the little boys. I grew up in a Catholic church, went to Catholic schools all my life, and there was nothing about this controversy with the Catholic Church that was a surprise to me. In fact, I was talking to a number of people, some Latino friends of mine, who and women. I said, well, didn't you see this growing up? And they said, oh, yeah, the nuns used to tell us stay away from this particular priest or that one, because they also, there were numbers that were also going after girls. But, no, this has been a problem in our society since the beginning of time. It's not going to go away. It is, without question, a genetic defect in some human beings that can only be dealt with by just getting rid of them. Because
all right, now let me ask you a question. I think I just answered your first question that you started this premise on, and you said cobra. Do you think you should be able to kill somebody or could kill somebody short of defending your life or the life of another? I think I added that part in there. And
well,
I said, oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
We can kill a whole bunch of people.
Well, no, my question was actually a little bit different. My question was, is there any other acceptable reason, society? Because I don't agree with you that that's a susceptible reason, our society, because it effectively requires people to take the law in their own hands, and that's something that, you know, as a lawyer, I cannot agree with.
Yeah.
I mean, and only that, you know, what happens if someone's wrong? What if you get the wrong person? That happens more times than not, and especially in a revenge scenario. You know, that old line about revenge is best served cold? Well, this is an example of it. It should not be served by the person who believes he has a right to revenge, because guess what? Usually those
screw it up.
Are wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll screw it up. I don't believe in vigilante for that very reason. I mean, if I knew for certain, little girl, your next-door neighbor, I don't even know where you live, whether you've got a next-door neighbor, but say you had a next-door neighbor, and she came over there and told you, I was brutally raped by this feller, and right there he is right there, all right? And then you act upon that. Well, she may have been wrong. But had you had firsthand knowledge and maybe have seen him finishing up or whatever his case might have been, and you know it, you know that this guy did it, I say, kill him. I say, Manny, when you get a chance, go ahead and punk him in a nugget. Now, don't call me because, Manny, I would need to see that myself in order to make that decision. Otherwise, then you cut a very small line between the vigilante-ness and everything else. But I think there's more than one reason you have to kill somebody. I think there's a lot of reasons. And if you got a good enough reason, do it. If you can live with it. If you can meet your maker and tell him, because you'll have to answer for it then, and say, yeah, I killed him, God, and here's why I killed him. And God said, I wouldn't have done the same damn thing. I could have got my pistol in time.
That's a pretty
the major issue is, are you going to end up on death row?
Because of it? Yeah, well, that's where our society is, and I can prove that to you very simply. I was given an order to go and pick up a feller, and I did. And then I was given an order to release a feller, and I did. And damn near ended up on death row. I mean, 15 years, you may as well kill somebody if you're going to put them in prison for 15 years for nonsense like that. So answer the question, hell yeah. So tread very carefully if you decide to undertake that school of thought. That's why I try to turn my head and close my eyes most of the times when I'm moving around, so I don't actually have to kill somebody.
Well, Jan, I know when things go wrong, I know you can always call Cobra.
Oh, she knows that. Hey, Manny, trust me on one thing. She knows that.
Oh, I know she knows that. But, you know, Cobra, from a direct social position, it's hard to disagree with the emotions that attach to what you say. Except, as you point out, even with Casey Anthony, nobody can separate their emotions. And that's what leads to lynch mobs. And
in my business, you have to separate the emotions, because of those 8,000 folks, probably about a quarter of them would have been dead already, because you know what? They ended up, they did what they said they was going to do, what they were charged with. And I always look at it that I'm not the judge or the jury or the prosecutor or any of that business. So I got to kind of just take it for face value that what my job is. My job is to alleviate the liability of the person who went on the hook for them. And that's as far as it goes. But then, you know, you can't help but sometimes take a peek back and see where it happened in the case. Case in point with my girlfriend. She was kidnapped and driven all day long, just before I met her, around the banks, taking out money. And this was because she was in the real estate business, and some guy decided the easiest mark to be would be to rob somebody in real estate. And so kidnapped her. And then when he's in jail, he hires a guy in jail for the $30,000 to kidnap her child. Here's her photograph. Here's the picture. Here's all the information. And if she's going to continue to testify against me, rape her, kill the child, kill her, do whatever. Well, I ended up catching this guy that was hired to murder her in Daytona Beach. Now, I don't know my current girlfriend. I don't know any of this story. I don't know none of this happened. However, this guy had jumped bond, and he was out on bond, and his purpose out on bond was to go find her and kill her, kidnap her, and do all this stuff. Problem is, he got in with the drug boys, and he needed his fix when he got out and got screwed up thinking about that. Well, this guy and me fought, and we fought for about 18 minutes. Now, we only trained for three, and a good two-minute-long fight is a long fight for 2 minutes. So 18 minutes. Now, looking back on this, knowing after I met Paula and then found out that this guy was hired to kill her and all this happy shit, would I have killed him? I'd say, yeah, I probably would have. Knowing all the pieces of this, you ride around, somebody kidnaps Jan, drives her around all day to banks and takes out money discussing whether or not they're going to rape her child, and you best not testify against me, because if you do, I'm going to get off, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to kill your ass. Well, I'm sure that Simon wouldn't be faring too well about that information. And so I've been in those different kind of situations to where, yeah, there's a reason people kill people. There's a damn reason for it.
Simon, I don't want to put you on the spot and ask you your feelings about whether you chase around for Jan, because she is on the show. So we're going to slip past that one for the moment. But you know, even then, I just, you know, no matter what your reasons are, you just can't do it. And I understand your emotions about it. There are things that could lead me to do it, but unless it's a heat of passion and you're there and you're facing with it, then it's cold-blooded murder, and you're essentially usurping the power of our society. The problem with our society is that it oftentimes makes people lose confidence in its ability to handle these kinds of murders, of which Casey Anthony seems to be the murder du jour right now, the one in which this issue is being raised, because everybody feels that she got away with killing her child, which means that faced with these kind of issues, other people may look at it the way you do, because they go, well, maybe she'll get it off. And you see thousands of movies that are made where ultimately someone kills somebody because they don't have faith that they will prevail in the judicial system. And there again, it's the fault of our judicial system. But I believe the average human being is not capable of killing another human being, does not want to be involved in the death of another human being, and frowns upon it a great deal. So even though you've raised some highly charged issues, I don't think they work in our society. And most people are not in the kind of business that you're in that provokes these kind of emotions. And by provokes, you know, you're exposed to people who can raise those emotions to a dangerous level. And so am I at times, because, you know, lawyers don't deal with the nicest of people at times either. And it is really of grave concern. The biggest problem is, why in our society do we have so many of these people?
Yeah.
Why is our society ridden with so much trash right now? What is it we're doing wrong?
Well, I know this, Manny. You speak like a true legalist, a true lawyer man, a true guy of the court. I'm also an officer of the court as well. But I can assure you this. Don't know how many children you have or how well you love your wife or anything like that. But if one of these evil demons come knocking on your door at 2:00 in the morning with the malice of intents, you'd have to change of heart real quick. you'd be throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at them. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, if they're at your door, sure. And don't mistake me for some liberal you know, lawyer, I grew up on the streets, and you wouldn't want to go 5 minutes with me, trust me. And unlike others, I trained for a lot longer distance and studied martial arts for about 15 years, and partly because as a lawyer, you have problems. I mean, I actually had, among other people, I had two people try to kill me in my life. Believe it or not, one of them was a woman, you know, and one of the reasons I stopped doing divorce. Because why do you think lawyers are exposed to this stuff? It's always some type of divorce-related issue.
Yep. Yep.
So
always
can you imagine
that? Oh, I know. Yeah. People have asked me that, Manny. What's the most dangerous thing you've ever done? I mean, I've done a lot of dangerous shit. But
doing divorce is the most dangerous thing.
Absolutely. A surveillance of a couple that's fixing to separate is very dangerous for the simple reason the man is fixing to lose at least half of everything he has if you're on point. So that is a very, very, very heated and dangerous situation as any type of marital, domestic spying, that type of stuff. And the next most dangerous thing, and I've got two of my fellow friends that are in the ground because of it, and one that's some days in a mental institution and some days not, and that's somebody with a minor traffic accident. Now, I've went after terrorists, felons of every kind, murderers, in and out of country. I mean, shit that would make a bestseller. And the most dangerous of the most dangerous is a guy who has habitual driving something or another. Never did anything else, just too many speeding tickets or too many failure to appears for no driver's license. That is the most dangerous person you'll ever run into in your life because they're not familiar with the system. They don't know what a bounty hunter or bondsman's fixing to do, and that is a dangerous individual to encounter, is somebody
that has
no experience.
Okay, I have to call bullshit on this.
Well, I'm
going to
tell you, right.
The most dangerous person in the world is Jan.
Hey. I am not.
I don't doubt that.
Dan.
But, you know, Simon, yeah, we could all tell stories about it. You know, when I thought about your question a little bit longer, I think one of the most dangerous times of my life was I pursued a case against a business that I later found out, in the middle of the business, was owned by organized crime. Well, the organized crime group was not pleased to find out that I was suing and that I was probably going to win and cost them a huge amount of money. And I didn't find out to the middle of the case when someone again threatened my life, told me if I didn't drop the case, I would wind up dead. And so when I consulted with some friends of mine in that arena, they said to me, "Do you realize who you're suing?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, I wish you would have asked me," and then proceeded to tell me. And it was not a happy moment. But I finished the lawsuit, but I also finished it with two bodyguards. One of them was the founder of the Crips in L.A., who was cleaned his life up after serving time in prison for murder, and he was about 6'5", 300 pounds. He was one of Tupac's bodyguards who was killed in the Tupac Shakur murder. But for about 4 months during this trial, I had to have bodyguards because there were people following me. And by the way, I'm one of those guys who drives fast, so following me is not easy. So, yeah, and people who think lawyers have some easy life, no, lawyers take on tough cases because they believe in them. And when you do take on tough cases you believe in, people threaten you, and it gets crazy.
Okay, we're rapidly running out of time. But there are a couple of other cases that we do need to talk about. Two-year-old Addison Lanham. Jan, do you want to...
This is just a little girl that was... Actually, she died from North Carolina, and she was left with her mother's boyfriend babysitting while the mother went to work, and the little girl had to be brought to the hospital. But once that she got to the hospital, the little girl, they found that she had suffered from a broken leg that hadn't been treated. They said the leg had been broke at least 1 to 3 weeks before she died and just never been treated. Nobody cared anything about it. They said the child had balls on her face, that her mother had tried popping the balls and cleaning them out with peroxide, and said they also said that she had hurt her private parts, split herself when she was getting out of the tub is what her mother's excuse was. And so the little girl ended up dying of a staph infection. She was full of infection. And they do have her mother and the boyfriend now in jail. It's really sad. It's the main thing that really got to me, other than the fact that they neglected this baby, was the fact that, once again, Department of Social Services was called in on them, and the cry out, oh, well, we don't have the resources to check out all of our cases. And this little girl's life could have been saved if they had. And nobody done nothing about it. And I just don't understand how it can happen. It really breaks my heart to see that once again, the system failed another child.
Manny, I have to ask you, from a legal viewpoint, is modern society wrong? Are we just not putting money where it should be spent? Cases like this are heartbreaking.
Well, let me offer you this thought. There was an article in the Morning Times about the F-22 fighter plane that started out a $190 million budget. They were going to order 800 of them. Now, after it's killed a few people, been generally unsafe, et cetera, they've decided only the American government only order, I believe it's, let me think of the number again, 188 of them. This is about $7 trillion worth of airplanes. They're not even sure will fly. That we need like a hole in our head. In fact, the whole reason it was being built was to counter some alleged Russian plane that Russia decided they weren't going to build because they didn't want to bankrupt their own country. But they convinced the powers to be, what we call the military-industrial complex, convinced our government to do that. Well, that money would have been better spent saving children's lives. In the same way right now, when I listen to Republicans scream and yell about cutting 3% of the defense budget, which is only about $50 billion a year, and yet they want to cut Medicaid, I just find this hard to take. We're not spending money in our country in the areas that will benefit Americans.
I mean, how much could you do with $50 billion?
Simon, I'll tell you something, and I'm not for cutting the budget for Medicaid and Medicare, and damn sure not for the defense. But we just set a rocket up to go in $1 billion plus, and to go up and to find out how planets are made. Well, I can tell you that Genesis 1:1 said, God said, let it be a planet up there, and it was one. Now, give me that $1 billion, and let me give it to these home wrecking folks at the children's camp, and maybe they could use that in their budget. This is the dumbest shit that I've ever seen. I'm all for putting a man on the moon. We've done that. Wasn't nothing up there. We came, we saw, wasn't nothing to do. That's it. Okay, scratch that shit and give that money to one of these other kids and help them come up, and maybe they'll figure out to tell you, hey, God made the planets. We don't need to study how they were born. Okay? Save that $1 billion. Shit.
Well, I'll throw one more at you. I'm not crazy about the conduct of Pakistan throughout all these issues and their arrogance in deciding they're going to deal with it severely over killing Osama bin Laden. And then we turn around and you take a look at the billions of dollars we've given this country and continue to give this country.
Uh-huh.
Just makes me want to throw up. You want to stop our national debt? Just stop giving foreign aid for 2 years. The problem with foreign aid is that most of the people who really make the money off of foreign aid, believe it or not, the foreigners. This money goes to American corporations. On our House show, we bring up constantly how, over a period of time, the American government buys seeds from Monsanto to use as foreign aid in African countries. Well, the foreign aid really doesn't go to them. It goes to Monsanto. So if they cut back on this type of funding, someone like Monsanto is just going to scream bloody murder because it's their money that's being that they're not getting. So a lot of these foreign aid issues are feathering the pockets of Americans, the same way my generation screamed and yelled because American businesses made profit off of the off the war in Vietnam. And by the way, as I say constantly, the reason we have a Social Security problem is because they convinced Congress to convert the Social Security fund to the general fund to pay for the war in Vietnam. So my generation paid for the war in Vietnam with their bodies in battle and ultimately their money. And now at this time of all of our lives, they're saying they want to cut back on Medicare and Social Security when we're the ones who paid for these little brats to have the freedom they have. So,
okay,
yeah,
what really pisses me off is the whole Japan tsunami story. I mean, Japan has lots and lots of money. Yeah, they have a disaster. Well, you know, I'm really sorry, and I truly am. But why on earth would we be sending aid to Japan? I mean, would they send aid to us if we had a disaster? Did they send aid to us when, you know, we had the Gulf oil spill? No. I mean,
absolutely not.
Yeah. This is a one-way bullshit story.
Well, how about my favorite? You know, every time I saw, you know, Laura Bush stand up and go, well, I'm so happy to build this hospital here in Iraq. It's my pet program. I want to throw up. I mean, basically, she's a very nice lady. But we have no business building hospitals in Iraq when we can't afford to build hospitals here in areas that need it. In Los Angeles, we had a huge number of hospitals closed down because of financial need. Well, that money would have been better spent providing hospitals in the poor areas. Why are they important? Because it cuts down the cost of Medicare and Medicaid. If we improve the health of our population, we will have less issues about what we spend on, you know, health services, which is a big deal right now. So what we're doing is we create our own problems, and then we just foster them and just keep them right on going in the name of helping others. Well, you know, God helps those who help themselves, and it's time for Americans to start helping themselves.
I agree.
You know, and
that's it?
I know you're waiting for me to say something else. Don't get me started. We don't have enough time to get me started on that.
You're right.
Yes, I do agree.
Yeah. He's right. You
time
are
we stand
dangerous.
Up. Huh?
He's right. You are the most dangerous one here. But no, you know, and, you know, I'm rather hawkish in my views. I mean, I'm not a pacifist, but, I mean, we have to use common sense. And
exactly.
I am against. Yeah. And by the way, I am against this war. And you know I'm against this war? Because at no time since this whole war started, Iraq, Afghanistan or anything else, has anyone been able to convince me that this would have any benefit at all, the American goal? Yes, I do believe we should be doing something about Afghanistan, which was where Al-Qaeda was involved. But Iraq, all we had to do was just bomb them into submission. You know, like Saddam Hussein, fine, just drop bombs on him. He'll go away. He'll shut up as fast as Gaddafi did when Reagan bombed his palace. I mean, there are ways to deal with it. But now he's spent basically $7 trillion on these wars. And guess what? We're arguing about the financial well-being. And we have an issue that I've been waiting to pop up, which is that China would like to switch from the dollar to the yen. Why? Because the U.S. makes a fortune on what's called arbitrage, a spread between the cost of money when it's converted from one currency to the other. Well, if the Chinese resent this because every time they've got to transfer money to the U.S. and from yen to the dollar, they have to pay a premium for it. Well, if it's switched to the yen, they won't be spending anything on it, and that's really where they want to go. So all we're doing with this kind of insanity that's going on with the Tea Party and the Republicans is fostering more problems abroad, while I listen to these people say, oh, it isn't going to make a bit of difference. Well, take a look at the stock market. All this makes a difference. So at the end of the day, we are endangering our country more than we ever have, and it's sad.
Oh, okay. We're about to lose our live listeners, but fear not. Everything is recorded. Okay, Manny, you can resume your rant.
Well, I'm at the end of the rant. The real issue for our listeners is we need to solve a lot of problems in our country that include problems with how children are taken care of, protecting them, preserving life in this country, stopping issues like what we're dealing with Casey Anthony, where mediocre judges are getting mediocre responses and blaming others. You know, we need to have people take responsibility for what goes wrong in our country, which isn't now, and to change it. And all this petty fighting isn't going to change our country. And I'm hoping that someone will wake up and realize that.
And, Cobra, I'm sure you have some parting thoughts for us.
Did he leave us?
No, he hasn't left. He's just sulking.
I'm here. I'm here. I had a. Whew, you ever try to jump start a truck in a damn hurricane? I left my radio on in my truck, and I came back out here, and I was like, ah, shit. So I just got to jump start it. But I'm okay. What was the question?
Okay, we're about to wrap the program up. We're about to wrap the program up. And
okay.
I would just like your parting words of wisdom for us.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Well, don't lose too much sleep over Casey Anthony. I think, Jan, you may get a reprieve in here. Maybe, just maybe, the judge in infinite wisdom signed the order to where she has to do her probation. But if he didn't, be of good cheer. She won't make it through the end of the year. Oh, Lord. Other than that, Manny, you be easy too, and hope the hell we don't have to give China no damn more money.
I agree.
All right.
I'm Jan.
Okay, this is my closing argument, right? I mean, statements, right?
Right. Statement, argument, it's all the same thing.
Okay, a little off the wall here. I just would like to remind everybody that anybody that was involved with the Haley Cummings case, they know about Haley Cummings. On Wednesday, August the 10th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., they're going to be holding a vigil in honor of Haley at the home of Annette Sykes, in Willacka, Florida. And they'd like for everybody that, even if you can't attend, to please at least light a candle for her during those hours, just to remember her. And then again on the 17th for her birthday, they are planning a balloon release. And for the information, when Simon does the wrap up on this show, he'll put a link to the page where I have all the information for it. And just wanted to let her know, wherever she is, that she's still in my heart and thoughts. And as all the other children are.
Okay. I need to wrap this up. So until next Sunday, this is Simon Barrett and his very lovely wife, Jan, wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe day. We'll be back again next Sunday, and we will be talking about a really, really interesting case, Patrick Rust. Until then, goodbye.
Thank y'all for being with us today. Bye.